Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements you can see in the bulletins. There will be a VBS meeting Wednesday, March 29th at 6:30 p.m. This year's theme is Rainforest Explorers. The meeting will be brief, but we will be showing a short video and hopefully passing out materials. We are excited and looking forward to this year's VBS. So if you can attend that meeting, it's Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. April is fast approaching, and our Annie Armstrong Easter offering is $1,500. So please keep that in your prayers. Also, you'll see some upcoming events. Easter Trunka Hunt, April the 5th at 6:30. There's a list of items needed on the table for that in the back here. Hot dog buns, individual bags of chips, canned drinks or bottled water, bags of candy. So if you would like to can or willing to donate any of those things, you can bring them to the church, have them here before or on April the 5th so we can get them ready for that trunka hunt.
You want now?
Hunk of trunk. Y'all confusing me again now. I've struggled with that. It's going to be a blessing. We are excited about that. April the 9th is Easter sunrise service at 7 o'clock at Union Springs. Breakfast will be served afterwards. We will have Sunday school at 9:45 here and 11 o'clock worship service, but there'll be no evening service on Easter. April the 16th is the 155-year birthday celebration. We'll have Sunday school and worship at 11, and that we will also have that Hope Mission dedication that day. We'll have lunch, and then afterwards, after lunch, we'll have a community sing and no evening service. April the 30th, after the evening worship, Taco Sunday. Bring your favorite taco toppings. So, and that's just some of the things planned for April. So, amen. In case you didn't get all of that, it's in the bulletin, but also in the back on the table. There's a newsletter. I think they were in the Sunday school rooms too. It lists all those things that are going on at the church here. Also, it says on there, please visit our revised website if you have not been using it. We are posting things on it, events and things like that, and how to contact us is also on the website, and it's wiganbaptistchurch.org, and you can find more information about what's going on at Wigan Baptist Church if you'll use and utilize the website. I have a card here from Ms. Walden's family. Words cannot express the feeling in our hearts. Thank you for being with us during this difficult time. Your thoughts, prayers, and words of sympathy will always be remembered by the family of Evelyn Walden. And then the family wrote, all you have done during this time of sorrow is greatly appreciated. The family of Evelyn Walden. I'd like to thank everyone who donated clothes and helped set up the clothes giveaway yesterday. We were able to help a lot of families. It was real busy up here for a couple of hours, and to God be the glory for that ministry. Any other announcements? Thank y'all for being patient with me. We had a lot. That's good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. And Lord, as we begin our worship service today with these words of praise, Lord, and hymns and songs, Lord, we just know that they'll bring glory to you, Lord. I want to lift Brother David up to you as he presents your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come with the hearts of worship today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Harold?
You leave Brother David time enough to get the sermon in.
I don't know.
Good to see everybody again. Hello again. Our call to worship this morning is hymn 430. But before we do that, I don't want to forget, do we have any one here that had a birthday this past week or today that we can sing happy birthday to? It's about six Sundays in a row we haven't had somebody. Okay, well, let's all smile, stand up. If you're looking in the hymnals, it'll be hymn 430. I think it's going to be on the screen, and let's sing. There's sunshine in my soul today. We'll sing first, second, last verses.
Thank you.
It's our offertory hymn 411. And we're going to sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And let me see how many verses there are. On the last verse, if you'll please stand. And we'll, for the offertory. But we'll sing all four verses on the fourth verse. Please stand.
Save the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, choir. It's good to see you here this morning. I'm glad that you could come. I want to comment about our Easter offering. That is called the long name, the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. It supports all of our mission work within the confines of the United States. But that goes out much further than you might think, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to remember and tell you. But there are some 3,000 or so missionaries across the United States that are funded just like our International Mission Board. They are given monies to help them with housing and salary, with transportation, and to help them as they tell the world about Jesus Christ. Ironically, it is changing a lot. And I just simply want to point that out because we have found now that the world has changed so much that the mission field has come to the United States, and there are many multi-language or multicultural groups that are now here in the States. So you may run into North America Mission Board missionaries who speak other languages because they have to where they live. So it has become worldwide. Our offering is $1,500, and I don't know, Tim, can you tell me, we're going to have some candles or no candles? Well, we've got 22, don't we, or 24 candles. We could buy more candles if you'd like to. No, bring and give what you feel God's heart leads you to bring, because they're worthwhile, and I know that we can easily meet that goal. We're jumping in. Well, no, I got two more announcements before I start. I also want to tell you that I dressed up and put a tie on today to impress you. And, well, that's what two people said when I came in. No, that's not the case, and I'm making fun of it. But I do have a funeral that I'm going to lead at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And so if I act like I'm rushing out a little bit, I am. So, but thank you. I'm helping some folks over in Thomas County this afternoon. And I tell you, I don't like wearing ties, so I am going to survive. Today we look at the rest of the book of Matthew in the 10th chapter. It's going to be verses 26 through 42. And the comment I make, if you wanted to have a short title, would be a difficult decision, because the world makes it so that our life at times gives us difficult things that we have to figure out. Though God's will and His will for our families and churches is twofold, unity and peace. We've got to be aware, though, that the call of Jesus for a choice in life can at times bring division among our families. Our church family can be division among your internal family. And it's not a surprise, but what it is, it comes to the point of us making a decision of who we will follow. And that's hard to understand at times because we think, well, you know, if I'm going to do this or if I'm going that way, then what's going to be the difficulty? But the world has, let's see now, the world has offerings for us that may not be acceptable to everyone.
Amen.
Ah, well, where do they come from? They come from Satan himself. Now, I'm not saying that everything that is offered outside the doors of this building or even inside are wrong, but I am going to say that that's where the division comes, when we are trying to do things right and we're trying to live our life in honoring him, and we teach and we preach that, that everything we do honors Christ. Well, but yes, there are going to be times that we have to make a tough decision. With the unusual calling, by the way, of the apostles, some households could have had difficulty accepting this man, Jesus. I was watching this series that, I forget who made it, it's called The Chosen. And all of the beginning is sharing how Jesus went about in choosing his disciples. And the odd thing is, which it says in Scripture as well as in this depiction, is that when Christ said, follow me, they did. They up and they left what they were doing and they went with Jesus. And I sort of like the way that this depiction is, because it shows these were young men. These were not men in their 60s and 70s. These were men in their 19 and 20, 21. These were young men who were starting families, some of them. And yet, when Christ's call came, they said, I'll go. So we look at that, but when Jesus died, rose from the grave, he ascended back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came and a unifying presence began. Because you see, Christ came because the world was falling apart. The world was going in different directions, following different things, following false teachings, and God knew that we needed a Savior. So we look at it like that, and whole families responded to the gospel, yes. I know that, and I see that it brought peace to a lot. And not only these families, but the church as a whole. Jesus' prayer of unity began to be answered. However, yes, the principle regarding difficult decisions is true, because the choice to follow Jesus has disrupted families. When some members remain hostile toward the gospel, still even in divided families, the epistles show us that to be able to maintain unity, we must make a difficult choice to follow Christ above all else. And I'm going to admit to you that this was something hard for me to deal with, hard for me to accept, until I finally put my eye on the fact that it is Jesus above all else. And so you're going to have to ask yourself some questions. Let's read Matthew and see what he says about the life for Christ. Verse 26, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Now, let me stop just a second there, because all you have to do is trail back a few verses in Matthew, where we've been teaching, and you can see that Jesus has sort of shifted and changed gears. He's not telling, now don't go tell anybody. He said, no, what you have seen, what you've heard, shout it from the rooftops. Because Jesus is now revealing who he is. And he's, I think it was 2 weeks ago, he told us that he gave his apostles powers to heal, to pray over, to raise from the dead. And so now there's a different process. And in verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let's continue this one last part. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. What Matthew is saying here in verses 40 through 42 is that we are rewarded for what? For everything we do for others while here on earth. Our relationship to Jesus Christ is the most important decision we make. And I have told y'all some of my secrets, but I type my notes and I read to you so that I won't forget what to say or where I am. And I don't do it for anyone except myself, but I'm going to do this today. I actually came in, this is the ending. Here's a picture that I shot the other night. Y'all can't see it if you want to come by and look. This is a picture of the pews on Wednesday night. Of all the things that you did for others. And I've got six pictures I actually shot, and Tim sent me three more because there was some added. Now, why am I showing you something like that from the preacher's notes? Because of that last verse. Just like our free yard sale, what we do for others. Anybody sitting in here regret the things that they brought here that are gone? I'm not gonna point you out if you say yes. No. It's because you wanted to do something for someone else to make a difference in their life. And that's what this scripture's saying. That's all it's telling us to do. What is it that we can do for other people that will make a difference in their life? And yes, you don't have to wave a big flag. Guess what? They knew they came into a church. They knew where you were. Some of them want to know because they want to come back next week. Not to see if you do it again, but to find out, why would these people do that for me? Yes, it does make a difference. And of course, you also have the scripture in Mark 12, 30 and 31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This, the second commandment is this: you shall love your neighbors as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Two simple commandments. Yes, the Ten Commandments are important, and you put those in the context of where they are in Exodus, and then you follow those, and you find that what Jesus said is, look, folks, this is what it is: loving God, letting God love others through you. This is what Jesus is talking about. When events happen that are difficult to accept and understand, we must remember that God is sovereign. God is sovereign and ultimately in control of our lives. When we give our life to Him, I'm sure there are many questions that will go unanswered until we're in God's presence. Okay? One of these questions is, why do some godly Christians suffer martyrdom and others live? Now, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, and I say this half jokingly, but I want people to understand, yes, I agree. There are going to be questions that we won't answer now, but when we get in God's presence, it really won't matter. So you can worry about it today if you want to. And you can ask God, because I think God is big enough to tell you what you need to know. But I do believe that the important question is, God, what do you want me to do? That's the question. Many in the church in Jerusalem must have been asking the very same question, though, when the Apostle James was cruelly murdered by Herod Agrippa. Eventually, King Herod faced judgment, though, that for his arrogance and his evil deeds was horrible and terrible. However, the question still remains, why do some people die and some people live? Why do some people have cancer and others don't? Why do young children have cancer and die? Yes, those are all questions that we stop and look at and question. But another question emerges is, why pray for protection and deliverance if God is sovereign? Why should we do that? Why don't worry about it? Hey, I'm going to leave here in a little while, and it's broad daylight. A deer might jump out in front of me, crash my car, and I won't come back next Sunday. It could happen. We live in a world that is cause and effect, but God is still sovereign over that world. The devil is pointed out in many different places as the prince of the power of the air. He controls so much of what goes on in this world because he's taking people who reject Christ and will follow him. But we look at that and we think about if God is, it seems like a simple question, but we should pray, first of all, because God commands us to do so. Furthermore, it's a part of God's sovereign plan that we pray in His will. And what I have discovered is that that's part of the problem. We want to pray what we want to pray. We want to do, it always comes to my mind when my son was about 4 years of old, 4 years of age. He was out in the backyard and we were trying to plant a garden over here. And we had dug up the soil, and he was trying to help. And, of course, Darlene was trying to entertain him so he wouldn't just run over all the plants we had put out. And she said, well, John, we've been working with him to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And that's something you do. And she said, well, come on, son, let's try and say the Pledge of Allegiance for Daddy while he's digging, you know. And he looks up, and he says, I don't want to do what you want to do. I want to do what I want to do. And I think I have laughed at that for the last 37 years now. he had in his mind what he needed to do and what he wanted to do. And that's all he wanted to do. And you know, we let him do it. Because there are battles you don't choose to fight. What I do know, what I have seen, and what I have understood over and over in living a life for Christ is I want to live my life, I want to live my prayer life, I want to live my life so that I pray in, Lord, what your will is for this situation, Father, let it be done. I'm sorry, but I do not want to be guilty of looking at my prayer list and saying, Lord, please let that person get out of the hospital. Please let that person live two more days. Please. I'm sorry. If that person needs, ready, and is on his way to heaven, please, Lord, do your will. And if he can stop suffering, then let it happen. It's a hard way to pray. I will. I'll admit that. It's a hard way to deal with. When it's your loved one, when it's your heart, when it's your special person. But that's why we've got to change our mindset. That's where we've got to change our mindset to realize that, Father, the most important thing in my family and for my children and for my wife and for my husband is that I pray, Lord, speak to them so that we will be together for all eternity. I can't save my children. I can't save my wife. I can't save my husband, my parents. But I can show them what Christ can do. And I pray that everything that God has in Scripture for me is also a blessing for them. When all is said and done, however, we must acknowledge that what God is God. Can you think of anything else, anyone else, that we would substitute or have? He is sovereign Lord of the universe. Even though we don't comprehend the mystery regarding human actions, how we relate to God, we must trust Him in all circumstances. My example has to be this. Folks, what we see is right here. Okay. Today I can see Harold. Tim, you get cut out this time. Ms. Alice, you barely make it. I'm sorry. This is how much the preacher can see today. I can change my perspective a little bit. I see a few more of you. Nah, sitting too far back, Kip. Guess what? God sees this. He understands the next 10 minutes. God understands the next 10 years. Miss Linda asked me a wonderful request before the service started. She said, Brother David, my children are going to try and plan me a great big party for what? My 100th birthday? And she wants me to come. She wants me to put it on my calendar. And I am, Miss Linda. If God needs you here, honey, I want to be there. Because that's a great event. But I have to realize that God knows, and I'm not supporting, condemning. No, God knows what's best for all of us, and we understand that. I receive great comfort from these words of Paul, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His everything. I don't think I understood this for a long, long time. There's not anything that happens in this world that God cannot take and make for His glory and His good. And that's his desire. He wants to. What is difficult for us, what is hard for us. No, I can't tell you why one person has this or one has that, or why some people. No, I don't understand that picture. I don't understand that side. But I do understand that God, even in your hard times, wants the best for you, as that best honors Him. Without a doubt, no doubt. And so that's why I pray in the good times, thank you, God. I pray in the tough times, thank you, God, for whatever you're doing, for however you're doing it. Lord, I don't get it sometimes. And sometimes it's all too clear. Now, I'm going to give you one more old man story, and that is simply this. The longer I live, the more opportunity I've had to see how God can make things flow from good to bad. I've been living at least long enough to start putting some of the pieces together and understanding that, Lord, I didn't get that, but I do know you're in control. And I think it's because I've tried to give him the sovereignty and the control that he deserves. I've tried to honor him and get out of the way sometimes. And I've tried to make sure that I'm trusting him because of what he's entrusted in me. The takeaway, Susie, if you want to come on to the piano, the takeaway is this today, folks. As Christians, we face some tough decisions, some difficult decisions here on earth. But we must remember that our life here on earth is only preparation for our ultimate goal, which is to live with Christ in eternity. That's what we're searching for. And the good part about that is he wants us to take as many people along with us as we can. He doesn't want to show up alone. So that doesn't mean to get a big bus and run it off of the cliff, no. It means that as many people as we can share the good news of Christ with, as many people as we can touch, he wants us to let them know so that our eternity is secure. I can't shorten eternity, but I can sure make certain that there are others who are there to enjoy it with all of us. And I certainly pray that can become your desire and your goal as we seek God's kingdom in all that we do. Today we're going to stand and sing as a hymn of commitment, hymn 308, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, hymn number 308. Let's stand and sing.
Yeah.
Father, we are grateful that you have touched us even today. And I pray now, Lord, that you will continue to be within our hearts and our minds, that we can find others that need to know the love of Christ. And I pray, Father, for this church and this community, that we will be a beacon for the people of Wickham. Father, lead us today and give us your Spirit. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen.